Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, Rasulullah. You listen to Islam Tomorrow. And what we're talking about right now is the subject of Ramadan. And I want to pronounce it correctly. Ban, not Ramadan. Ramadan. Yeah, that's the letter that's tough on the folks. This is the letter which is not in any other language. And they say Arabic is the language of the dad, because nobody else got dad. How'd I do?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Alhamdulillah. Ramadan is the month, one of the months of the 12 months of the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar contains 354 days, whereas the sun calendar contains 365 1/4 days. We don't have that problem on a Muslim calendar, because a month either has 29 days or it has 30 days, depending on the sighting of the moon. And it always averages out 354 days a year. And it always averages going backward in the sun calendar about 11 days. And since I've been Muslim 13 years, I've watched it happen consecutively that way year after year after year. And it's not that hard to figure out. Now I want to come to the subject. I've been talking about the positive side of Ramadan. Now I want to talk about the negative side. And if you said, whoa, wait a minute, what are you talking about negative? Well, it's nothing negative really, but there's some things I want to mention about Ramadan to be sure we understand. And the negative side comes from Muslims who try to twist stuff. We left off in Surah Baqarah. We were talking about what Allah said in Surah Baqarah 186. We're going to go to Ayah 187. The first word used here is halal, meaning permissible. It is lawful for you, it's halal for you to have sexual relations with your wives on the night of fasting. They are libas for you, and you are the same for them. Well, I like to leave stuff in the Arabic if we don't have an English word, and then come back and explain it. It means a body cover or a screen. Total covering and being intimate and being close. Allah knows that you used to deceive yourselves, so He turned to you and accepted your repentance and forgave you. So now have relations with them and seek that which Allah has ordained for you, meaning offspring, children, and eat and drink until the white thread of the dawn appears distinct from you from the black thread. Then complete the psalm until the nightfall. Do not have relations with them, your wives, while you are in itikaf. We spoke about itikaf a little bit. We'll talk about that a little bit more. These are the limits set by Allah, so don't approach them. Thus does Allah make clear His proofs, evidence, ayat, to you, to mankind, that you may become al-mutakun, which means pious or righteous. A couple of points here. Eat and drink until the black thread is distinct from the white, or the white is distinct from the black. Abiyad wa aswad. Abiyad means white, and aswad is black. When the verse came, one of the companions of Muhammad took a white thread and a black thread, and he put them there by his bed, and he watched because he wanted to know, you know, when must I stop eating? So I can keep eating until I can make the distinction between these two threads. But the sun even came up and he still couldn't see him yet. So he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, what does this mean? Because I took a white thread, a black thread, I put them down, and you know what? I don't get it. Prophet ﷺ said it doesn't mean those kind of threads. He's talking about the black thread of night, the white thread of day. So that in the morning, when you first start to see that first light, that first beam across on the horizon line, that's it. And that's exactly the time of what? The time for the adhan of the fajr. Now, if you haven't made the adhan yet and you see that, it's time for the adhan. And when you hear the adhan, you do what? Stop eating, stop your relation with your family, your wife, and stop drinking. Everything is stop, stop, stop. But suppose I'm in the middle of a glass of water, what do I do? Just throw it away? Suppose I'm drinking some milk, I have it in my mouth. Do I just spit it out? I have a mouthful of my favorite mashed potatoes and gravy that my wife makes, Texas style, just for me. I'm by the way. I fight for that. And my mouth is full of it. What you want me to do? Just swallow hard? How many of you know the answer to this one? I was in a brother's house one time down in South Texas. He was from another country. I don't want to say where, but when I was watching the clock and we were sitting there eating, he started grabbing all the food away from us. I said, "So what's going on?" He said, "Can't eat anymore." I said, "Oh, I didn't know. I thought the time for the Fajr was like 30 minutes from now." He said, "It is." I said, "So why are you taking the food away from us?" He said, "Brother, everybody knows you have to stop 30 minutes before Fajr." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you know, it's just you should do that so that you're not still eating. You eat too close to it, that's bad." I said, "Is this a hadith?" He said, "It's our madhab." And I won't mention which one because he's not correct about it anyway. But this was something he picked up in his culture. Because the Prophet ﷺ said clearly, "There will always be good in my ummah and my nation as long as the people continue to eat right up to the last minute and they hurry to break their fast." And from another madhab, I heard one brother saying, when we said, "Oh my God, it's time for Maghrib, make the adhan." And he said, "No, I don't want you guys to make the adhan." We said, "Why? It's time. Look, there's the clock." He said, "No," he said, "we don't see enough stars." I said, "It's not about seeing stars. It's about the sun. I can see it's gone. And my tummy is saying, time to eat." He said, "No, we have to wait till we see a lot of stars." I said, "I tell you what. If you try to keep me away from that food any longer, you're going to see more stars than you ever saw in your life, brother. I'll fix you right up. Don't get between me and the food, okay? Don't mess with Texas." Well, come to find out, he's from another school of thought. He calls it Jaffrey Feck. And I checked it out, and I didn't go along with it because no hadith to support this. There's no hadith to support this concept. This is something some imams came up with later. So we're not obliged to take something that's in contradiction to what the Prophet ﷺ says or what Allah says. And he clearly said to hurry to break your fast as soon as you hear, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." What are you supposed to do? You don't have to wait for the adhan to be over unless you're the muadhin. In which case, it's better to wait because it's hard to hear the adhan if you're gargling water, you know. So finish the adhan, and then you can eat with us. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting on the floor chewing up. We're going to be with it. Am I right? Yeah, that's better. Yeah, inshallah. So that's one point. That's a good point. Another one is this time of ending and starting the fast. Ending the eating and drinking and starting natural fasting. And if I've got a drink in my hand and I'm drinking, can I at least swallow the water into my mouth and then throw the water away in my cup? Or what should I do? And if you're going to give an answer, remember what I'm going to do next. Ana dalil. Where's your proof? And if it's not a good hadith and if it's not out of the Quran, then I'm going to give you a hard time because that's what I like to do. So, who will answer the question? What do I do? I've got a glass in my hand. I'm ready to take a drink. In fact, I got some in my mouth. I don't know whether to spit, spurt, or toss. I don't know what to do. And what's the proof? Anybody?
No, the answer is no proof.
Ah, there's a big proof on this one. Big proof. The proof is that Omar radiallahu anhu had the exact example that I'm talking about. And he asked the Rasul, the Prophet ﷺ, about it. And he told him, finish what you have in your hand. The other thing is, once the adhan starts, you have until it's finished. So, that's just as an example, so that if you got some food in your mouth, finish chewing it correctly and get it down. And if you have something in your hand, you can finish it up. Okay? So I got to tell you, this really happened in our house one time when my daughters were still real little and we were all sitting around. And we'd gotten up late and it took so long to get the food ready. And you know, the little Adon clock? Everybody got one of those things. It's supposed to be Abdul Basit Asamad, Abdul Samad is from Egypt. And he gives the beautiful Adon in this little clock. But we have that too. And then we just started eating, you know what? And here it went, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We said, oh no. Everybody started grabbing stuff and holding it. I'm holding it. I'm holding it. I'm going to eat it. So alhamdulillah. That was what we did. We held on, and while it was going, we were chomp, 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 drink, drink, drink. And we said, okay, stop for the love, but we're ready to fast now, alhamdulillah. That it's important for us to eat that meal in the morning. Don't skip that meal in the morning. This is something real important. And don't say, well, the days are short, and I don't care, I'd rather sleep. No, you get up, and you have that nice meal, because this is something the Prophet ﷺ said, it was a matter of being khayr, good, in the ummah to do this, to eat this and do this consistently and break the fast when it's time to break it. And speaking of that, finally I want to mention this one little issue on the positive side before I go into some negative stuff. It's a very, very beautiful and wonderful mercy of Allah. Do you know, I never heard or imagined that I would see a way of life like Islam. That in the month of Ramadan, when it's imperative, it's the third pillar of Islam, or fourth, depending if you put zakat first. But anyway, if without this, you can't be a Muslim. You must observe Ramadan. Can you imagine in this month of Ramadan, when you mustn't eat, you mustn't drink, that a person could come along in the mid-afternoon and sit down and say, boy, I'm tired. Oh, I need to get a little bite to eat. I'm going to pray and then I'll go back to work. And pop maybe a TV dinner in the microwave or whatever, or stop somewhere and pick up some food to go and sit there and eat it, enjoy it, and pick in his teeth and say, oh my God, it's Ramadan. Oh, what have I done? But what should he do in this case? How many days does he have to fast to make up for this thing? How much sacrifice does he have to sacrifice? A camel, a cow, a sheep, a goat? What does he have to sacrifice to make up for this horrible thing he ate in this day? And how many months must he make up for this thing? How many? Nothing. Why? Because there was no intent. There was no intention whatsoever to break the laws of Allah. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said it's a gift from Allah. A gift. You ate, filled up your stomach, you said, ah, oh my God, I'm fasting. Oh, that's okay. That was a gift from Allah. That's why he made it so you wouldn't remember. He wanted you to enjoy that meal. And when I heard this, I said, this is la ilaha illallah. This is really from Allah. Because no human being would be that merciful. A human being couldn't think of that. They couldn't. Only the creator and the sustainer of the universe could think of this and give you something that you can't imagine. Because the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said in the Sahih Bukhari, first volume, first hadith, on the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu, that the Rasul qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama amalu bin niyyat. For sure, every action is based on the intention, and each person will have the reward of what they intended. Did you intend to disobey Allah? No. Did you intend to eat when you weren't supposed to? No. Ananasiya, I forgot. Okay, no problem. Allah doesn't wish for you any difficulty. He said that. He wants for you ease, and this is surely ease. And now I want to wind this program up and end this tonight with what I consider to be a pretty tough subject. I'm going to pray and ask Allah right in the middle of this program to guide me to say the right words, open your hearts to understand this message, and not to misguide us, but to join us together in what's good for the sake of Allah. The subject is, in the United States, in the Western world, Canada, US, and so on, When do we start the fast and when do we end it? Because if I'm over here with this group, they said you have to start on Thursday. Nuh-uh. We started on Friday. When do we end? Oh, everybody knows we end on Sunday. Saturday. Oh, you guys, you're with the wrong method. No, you guys are the wrong way. No, we saw the sun. No, you didn't see the moon. They saw it in Saudi Arabia. Okay, but Egypt said this, and Lebanon said that, and my imam said this, the sheikh said that. You know what my wife said? When do we start and when do we end? And sheikh, it's so bad. The people are fighting each other. We're supposed to be fasting. They're cursing each other, calling each other kafir. What do we do? I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you here in this room really know the right answer to that one? Anybody? Sheikh, what is it?
It's the sighting.
The sighting. When it is seen?
When it is seen.
Huh. He said one Muslim sighting it is enough. Do you know, I'm going to share with you. Allah said in the Quran, it's the sighting of the moon. And when you've sighted it, then you begin fasting. That's right straight from the Quran. Is it? And the Prophet ﷺ took the word of one Muslim. Here's what happened on one of the occasions of Ramadan. Someone came and said they had sighted the moon of Ramadan. The Prophet, peace be upon him, turned to that person and he said, are you a Muslim? He said, yes. He said, then we're fasting. Now understand, you don't sight the moon of Ramadan until after the setting of the sun, the night before. So you don't start really fasting that minute. You can't, because that's Maghrib time. But it means you start reciting the Quran for Taraweeh, and then the next morning you begin your fasting. That's how it's sighted. I have only sighted it once in my life. One time, and it was the Ramadan sighting. I was so excited because I had never ever done anything like this before, and I was so excited I want to call everybody and tell everybody. So I started calling these various organizations whose names I don't need to mention because they wouldn't accept it. I said, I'm looking at it. It's right outside here, and I'm looking straight and this sky over this side, etc., etc., and I described it. I said, it looks like I've clipped my thumbnail. You know when you do your fingernails with the clippers? And this little bitty piece that comes off of your thumbnail and it's hanging such and such a way, I described it exactly, and they knew that I was describing it right. They said, yes, but such and such group didn't say that. They're going by something else. But another group said, yes. They said, but they always go automatically by whatever the observatory says for the sighting. And so it means you're never ever going to get all the Muslims to agree. Even if I bring the hadith and show you, they won't always agree. They won't. But that happened at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did you hear what I said? It did happen at his time that they didn't agree. But everybody forgot to go and look at that hadith and find out how they resolved it. Because it turned out that sometimes when it's cloudy, you don't know when it is. So you have to wait and let the month before, Shaban has to be completed as what? 30 days. So it means you will be a day off. Well, I was in one place, an institution one time. A brother told me, he said, I'm fed up with this. Every year it's something different. This year he said they were 4 days off over there, 3 days off. So I said, brother, don't exaggerate. That never ever happened, ever. The most it can be off is one day. Because either you saw it or you didn't, because the month before can't be 31. And everybody knows that. Don't lie. Don't make it worse than it is. Okay? It could be one or the other. But when it happened at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody had come to their community who was fasting right along with them. But when it came time for Eid, he said, oh, but I only have 28 days. And that can't be right. But what had happened, they had not observed the moon, and so they didn't know what to do. They went with what they thought was right. The Prophet Sallallahu told him, don't worry about it. Break your fast and enjoy Eid with us, and then fast the next day. Do you understand that? So if you don't have enough days, you still break your fast, do Eid with them, and then continue the other day after that, and forget about it. You want to know the best way to resolve this problem? Is to be a real Muslim committed to your masjid and to have a real imam that you have trust and faith in. And when he tells you we're fasting, you fast. And when he tells you we have Eid, you have Eid. And you don't go ask other people in their masjid when they started or when they finished. And if they come and tell you they did something else, you say, oh, that's nice. And if they say, well, I don't like that, you say, oh, that's strange. Well, I think we ought to do something about it. You say, well, you know what? Why don't you go talk to your imam and see what he says? But I'm happy. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, Allah di ja'alana muslimin. I'm happy Allah made me a Muslim. I'm happy I know how to fast. I'm happy that we have a chance to please Allah. And my brother, if you're not satisfied, I'll pray for you that you'll feel as good about being a Muslim as I do. And I'll pray for you that you can open up your heart and mind and realize that that's really not what Allah's looking at. Allah's looking at inside of you and inside of me. We don't need to divide over this. I don't have any problem with it. If you do, I guess that's your problem, isn't it? And you know what? I've been practicing that ever since. A very wise sheikh gave me this advice. And you know, I never had any problems since then. I started when I thought it was the right time to start, ended when I thought it was the right time to end. But if somebody else had a different opinion, I said, oh, that's nice. I'll let it go. I want to enjoy the Ramadan for what it's worth. This life is too short. And I sure don't need to spend any of it arguing with Muslims about how to do good deeds. I don't think that's going to help me. And I don't think you do either. So I ask Allah to please forgive me if I said anything in a bad way tonight. I ask Allah not to misguide any of us from what we've said here, but to make this a source of good and a source of enjoyment, source of growth, source of progress, source of coming together for good in this life so that we can come together for good in the next life. And I make a dua that Allah grant that he accept every one of your Ramadan. Every one of you, he accepts your Ramadan, accept your fasting, accept your salah, accept your dua, and accept every good deed you do at 10 times, 700 times, 7,000 times, as much as Allah will accept. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise all of us up on the Yawmul Qiyamah with those who fast and put us in his Jannah through the bab, through the door of those who fast. Ameen. Jami'an. I ask Allah to increase us in all this good in this way. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasan wa fil akhirati hasan wa qina adhaban nar. Amin. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Amin. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina wa akhtana. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. وفو أنا وكفر أنا ورحمنا أنتم الله نفسنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر ذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم آمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد آمين اللهم نزع الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم نزع الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم نزع الإسلام والمسلمين Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Hu Allah Dijal Muslimin. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We ask you to come and visit our website over and over and enjoy our programs, and you can download them and you can copy them and you can give them out free. If you want to help us, pray for us. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.